Hey guys, Adam here from the BizNexus Roundup. I got to sit down with Jonathan Smith from Live Oak Bank today. Jonathan is a senior loan officer based in Boston, and Live Oak is the largest SBA lender in the country for small business acquisition. They've had a huge year, and they're expecting 2021 to be even bigger, more active as sellers come back to the market and availability of financing continues to loosen up. Really fascinating conversation. We went through how the market has changed over the past year in terms of financing, of course, and what we should be expecting coming down the pipe in 2021 in terms of traditional financing, bank financing, seller financing, and by the numbers, how much should borrowers be prepared to put down for an acquisition going forward through year end. So really great conversation. Hope you like it. Let's get into it. The Always Present Legal Team podcast conversations don't necessarily reflect the views of BizNexus Incorporated. Everything you hear is informational news and updates from around the industry. We're not recommending any investments. We're not offering any investment advice. Be sure to do your own homework. Hey guys, Adam here with the BizNexus Roundup. Joining me this week, we have Jonathan Smith from Live Oak Bank. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, Adam.
Jonathan's a senior loan officer based right here in Boston. It's actually how we met. I met Jonathan at one of these real live meet and greets back when those were a thing. People mingled in person before
all this.
I know. Before the stretch of homeschooling and Zoom fatigue. But looks like we're on the tail end of that now, as today is March 23rd. And so I look forward to hopefully linking up again at the industry conferences in person as we cram those into the rest of the year.
Right. Yeah. I think the end of the year is going to be pretty busy with those. So it'll be a good time.
It looks like it. And honestly, that's why we're here today, is to just fill the gap with the types of conversations that you and I would typically have at these conferences, where, you know, I'd always try to zero in on you to just check the pulse of the market, the funding landscape, you know, in an environment like this, that's changing very quickly. And that's why I've got you on today. Jonathan is definitely a man in the trenches when it comes to financing business acquisition and sale transactions with Live Oak. And actually, maybe if you could just do a quick rocket pitch for the type of work that you do in Live Oak. I know you guys have just been growing exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I've been with Live Oak now a little over a year and a half. We started our team a couple of years ago. Live Oak, you know, concentrates on different verticals. We have subject matter experts in various industries. And the team that I'm on, you know, we're generalists. So we're kind of out in the marketplace looking at, you know, lots of different industries, but we have a big focus on business acquisition financing, which is, you know, I'd say probably 80% of the transactions that I do are business acquisitions. You know, we're small business lenders. That's all we do, is lend to small businesses nationwide. I primarily cover the New England market, though I can lend, you know, anywhere in the country. I do a lot of the loans right here in our backyard because there's plenty to go around, for sure.
Got it. And you guys are coast to coast, very active in terms of business acquisition and SBA loans in particular. You're one of, if not the most active lender out there, right?
Yeah, we're the largest 7A lender in the country. So, you know, we're lending in all 50 states, you know, U.S. territories. Yeah, very active in the SBA 7A space. We do SBA 504 as well, USDA loans, and we do conventional. You know, conventional is a much smaller piece of what we do, but we do have that product in the acquisition space, in addition to commercial real estate financing, you know, owner-occupied stuff for small business owners. So yeah, we're very active. And as you mentioned, you know, top SBA lender in the country.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, since we've got limited time with a format like this one, Jonathan, maybe if you don't mind, I'll just hop right into it and start peppering you with a few questions about financing trends as we move out of this pandemic. You know, there have been a lot of changes over the past year, but it doesn't look like that's going to be any different as we move into 2021. So just in terms of talking about what's happened, what those changes have been for business acquisition, financing, and what we expect to come down the pipe through 2021, the selling market clearly has been impacted over the past year. I mean, depending on the types of deals that we're seeing, you know, we've seen over the past year since this really started to roll out, the companies that have had data to show growth post-COVID have done really well with multiples, with availability for financing, with investor interest. Those companies have not slowed down. The companies that have stalled out or had cash flows really negatively impacted, you know, hopefully they haven't gone under. If they have, that's not the company that we're going to focus on today. the companies that had their cash flows impacted and just kind of popped off market, right? And we think we've got a lot of companies out there that might just be waiting to get back in, right? They put themselves on the sideline, they're running through this, they're waiting for cash flows to normalize, and they're waiting for, you know, if multiples have been impacted in their particular industry, they want to get back to pre-COVID levels, right? Those seller expectations are still clearly there, even though you have the majority of buyers out there still looking for the COVID discount. Maybe if you could talk a little bit about the additional items that you guys, that lenders have been collecting over the past year due to COVID, and how or if you think that's going to change as that picture really normalizes, as the cash flow comes back and sellers come back into the market. Maybe just talk a little bit about what has happened and what you see coming down the pipe.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, obviously the further along we get, you know, through this process, you know, the more data we're going to have. And, you know, with the last SBA subsidy that happened, you know, as part of the FIRST Act, geez, all the way back into last, you know, March, April timeframe, that really kind of set us up to be extremely busy throughout the summer. And then that expired in September. So we had to come up with something pretty quickly that, you know, on how to address these businesses that were impacted by COVID. And most of them were impacted, you know, because of the slowdown or the states that just completely shut down, you know, primarily in that April, May, June timeframe. So we had to determine, you know, what are we going to look at? What data is important, especially for these businesses that saw a slowdown as they, you know, kind of came out of it. And, you know, as we are sitting here in March of 2021, you know, we're primarily looking at, you know, past 3 years of financials whenever we're assessing a transaction and looking at what that service coverage is, you know, for those 3 years. So 2020, for a lot of these businesses, they're going to see a hit, and maybe it doesn't meet the threshold, but 2018 does, 2019 does, and really the only thing that impacted 20, not that it's a small thing, but, you know, COVID is the thing that hit them. And it's because of that slowdown period. It could be a multitude of things that impacted them. So what we're collecting, you know, in addition to what we would normally collect, which is just year-end statements, is we're getting, you know, 2019 and 2020 monthly P&L statements. And we're doing analysis of each month kind of year over year. And what we're expecting to find is that, you know, January, February, maybe even the beginning of March, you know, either looks similar or better than, you know, 2019 for that time period. And then you see that fall off in April, May, and June. And it could be because that business was deemed non-essential and they had to close. For the most part, even the essential ones closed at first until the states kind of figured out what they had to do. And then we're collecting that data all the way through the end of the year. And the trend we want to see is that at some point throughout the year, maybe it was in June, July, August, or even in Q4, those numbers started to go back up. And revenue started to come back either to the 2019 levels for that same period, or they're just heading in the right direction. In each month, you're seeing, you know, the steady growth that you want to see. And though 2020 as a whole might be down, you're seeing that, you know, once states started to reopen and they started to figure out that they're not going to close again, because that was a big concern for a while, where, you know, are these states going to just lock down again in the fall, and how do we handle that? And we didn't really see that. You know, as we got further along, not many states, if any, really locked down completely. So it's really a deep analysis of those monthly P&Ls and what those trends look like. And also understanding, you know, why was the slowdown so impacted? You know, why did that slowdown impact those businesses so severely? Was it simply because they were closed, or did they have customers that weren't essential and did they close? So we really got to kind of get into the weeds of, you know, who was impacted more? Was it the business itself because of, you know, their operations, or did they have customers that went out of business? And we're looking at their customer list and understanding, you know, has business come back to normal? What customers were lost and why? Are those customers coming back? And what does the future look like for them? So yeah, we're able to gain a lot of perspective really by digging into those monthly P&Ls, which, you know, we didn't necessarily have to do that in years past.
Yeah, that's interesting. So basically it's still moving forward in real time. And you know, if cash flow doesn't work based off year end 2020 numbers, you guys are looking at trailing 12 months and just month to month as things get better or normalized, that will impact availability of financing for these companies.
Right, exactly. And if, you know, in some cases, maybe the impact was more severe and the growth is a little slower in coming back, and we can structure around a lot of those issues with, you know, maybe a seller note. We get a little creative with the seller note and how much they hold and for how long. And we continue to monitor, you know, those monthly P&Ls, even, you know, after the acquisitions occurred, and really kind of partner up with these borrowers. I mean, we're not just the bank that, you know, lends the money and then, you know, we're off to the next one. We're true partners with these, you know, business owners and helping to navigate, you know, the months afterwards and understanding what those financials look like.
Yeah. And seller notes, that's a great segue. Actually, I do want to touch on that. But first, you know, it's interesting listening to this because people outside the industry don't necessarily think about availability of financing. And this has been so different state by state over the past year and through the rest of the year. And so when you have businesses out there with track records, right, with performance track records, I mean, that is going to impact availability of financing. I mean, if things are normalizing more quickly in one area and the businesses have the data to show that it's not just business activity, which everyone is focused on, it's availability of financing and the business acquisition and sale activity in that particular market is directly impacted by, you know, whether these companies are active or not. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out with that. So with seller notes, you guys are partnering with the entrepreneurs, as you just went through. And so you're getting pretty close to how these deals are structured. Maybe if you could talk a little bit about, you know, seller notes and how those have been used over the past year. And then again, what you anticipate through the rest of the year just to help get the deal done.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a good portion of the acquisitions that we're funding are through the SBA 7A program. And that program requires, you know, a 10% or minimum 10% equity injection on these business acquisitions. And the seller notes can count for a portion of that if it's on full standby for the life of the loan. Now, that's not necessarily a requirement, and it's not necessarily something that happens on every transaction, but that tool is there if you need it. And, you know, if the seller or the buyer comes in and, you know, they want to put down 5%, they're going to have a seller note for 5%. You know, oftentimes in those scenarios, that's ultimately what gets the deal done. But in these situations where we're trying to get creative because of some COVID impact, or even if it's not a COVID impact, you know, it could be a customer concentration issue. But since we were talking about, you know, some of the COVID impacts for last year and how we're looking at that, you know, maybe the revenue's down, you know, 20% and it's starting to come back, but it's not at the levels that it was before. So maybe we get a seller note that's at, you know, 10% of the purchase price. And, you know, we track it. And if the revenue comes back fully, then the seller note gets repaid in accordance to, you know, the original terms. But if revenue doesn't come back, say a major customer that we thought was going to come back, you know, ends up going out of business or never returns, and that revenue severely hit, well, maybe a portion of that seller note's forgiven because, you know, it didn't come back to the pre-COVID levels. And, you know, not to scare any sellers into thinking that they're not going to get paid on their seller note, we structure these seller notes, you know, to help get the transaction done in instances where it doesn't meet, you know, the normal guidelines because of, you know, some severe impact. It's not something that we look at to do on every transaction. These are kind of outside the norm structures because of the times that we're in. Or, like I said, if there's, you know, if we're looking at, you know, a seller or customer concentration of, you know, maybe 40%, you know, we're going to want to have that tied to a seller note to some extent because we want to make sure that that customer sticks with the new owner.
Sure.
But we're able to get creative, and we're very pro deal, and we want to try and come up with solutions that are going to help get the deal done.
Yeah. And really more than anybody else in the industry, I feel like you guys as the lender have your finger on the pulse of this market month to month as this thing is changing in real time. So, I mean, it's in your interest to get a transaction done, to get a successful transaction done that succeeds going forward for everybody, for the entrepreneurs, for the lenders, for the financiers. Yeah, interesting. And so I guess by the numbers, how much should borrowers in this market be prepared to put down between what we just went through with, you know, SBA, conventional loans, seller financing? Maybe if you could just run us through what that looks like again today, March 23rd, 2021, knowing that this is going to change. Maybe we'll have you back next quarter and check in on it again. How does that look like now?
So, I mean, even now, the vast majority of the SBA 7A acquisition loans I'm doing are between 10 and 15% down from the buyer. So they should come in prepared to, they obviously should come in prepared to at least do 10%. There are still very few situations where, you know, they're coming in with 5% and doing a 5% seller note. So that can still happen. In the current times, it's not happening as much as it did before. So expect to come in with between 10 and 15% on the SBA 7A loans. If there is going to be a seller note, most of the time that seller note is between 5 and 10% of the purchase price. Every once in a while, we'll see one that's much larger, but those are kind of outside the norm and tied to some extenuating circumstance. On the conventional side, you know, I'd say at least 20% equity injection they should be prepared to come in with. We have seen some, you know, with as little as 15%, but, you know, mostly it's kind of 20 to 30% on the conventional side of things.
Got it. And with everything, you know, assuming the business is in good standing, right, as this is changing month to month to month, if your acquisition target is a viable target for lending, then I guess, what are you seeing in terms of availability of financing? I'm just assuming that's going to stay loose, if not loosen up further with everything that's happening in, I mean, we're putting $2 trillion into the system. Interest rates are going up, but not really. I mean, what do you see happening with availability of financing through year end?
You know, I think the availability of financing is going to be solid all, you know, through year end, especially with the SBA 7A program. The government added, you know, some more stimulus within that program. So the SBA is paying up to 3 months of principal and interest payments with a cap of $9,000 per month. They waived the SBA guarantee fee, which is the largest closing cost these borrowers can expect under, you know, the SBA program. You know, those are waived through right now, I believe it's September, you know, assuming, you know, the funds don't run out. So that in and of itself has generated a lot of, you know, activity. You know, we're, you know, probably busier than ever. You know, I know, I mean, I've been small business lending for, you know, almost 20 years. And despite COVID, this has been one of the busiest 18 months I've ever had. You know, so I think the availability of financing is certainly going to be there. Obviously, not every bank is in the acquisition financing space, but, you know, for those that are, I think it's going to be a very busy time.
We'd love to have you back as this year unfolds, because I mean, certainly over the past year, we've seen just an ocean of new buyers coming into the market, right? With people who are, you know, been displaced, or they're just looking for new opportunities after spending so much time with family and working from home. And we don't see that changing anytime soon with buyers coming to the market. And like I said, in the beginning of this podcast, you have these sellers sitting on the sidelines, waiting for cash flows to normalize, waiting for multiples to be where they were pre-COVID. And as this continues to trend in the right direction, we could really be looking at a perfect storm with availability of financing, with sellers getting off the sidelines, putting their companies back on the market. And then with all these buyers out there who have already lined up their financing, they're out there actively searching, looking for targets. I think it's going to be a really interesting year that plays out. And let's stay close. Let's check back in maybe in a few months and see where this is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you know, things are constantly changing you know, I'd love to come back and kind of give you the pulse of what's happening and keep everyone, you know, up to speed on what things look like.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. Yeah, really, really helpful information. We do try to keep this to, you know, 30 minutes max. So I think I'll just cut it out there. And, you know, thank you again for coming on the show, Jonathan, being here today. Real quick, can you just tell us where we can find you if people want to get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly shoot me an email at jonathan.smith@liveoak.bank. You can go to the bank's website, you know, and look for the generalist team. And, you know, you'll get to see my picture, though the beard's a little bit more trim now than what you might see on that site.
Mine's going the other direction. I'm growing this thing out. So, all right. Well, you guys, we'll have all that in the show notes for you. We'll have Jonathan's contact info for Live Oak. Thanks for listening to the BizNexus Roundup. That's going to do it for this one today. And we'll look forward to our next one Friday. We're rolling these out once a week. We had a little hiccup over the past couple of weeks as this is experiencing growing pains with the podcast. But once a week, we're going to roll these out with new guests. about all things business acquisition and sales. So see you at the next one.